All right, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. This is Paolo Roy with SY7 Ministry here in Italy. Hope y'all, well, most of y'all are waking up, unless you're over here. But to most of our audience, probably still over there. Hope you guys are starting out with a wonderful Shabbat morning. And so we're going to dive right into the message. Finally get to have my turn to preach again. And James and Daniel and everybody have been hogging the preaching post, so, but no. To jump right into it, the title of this is Do Not Declare Unclean What I Have Made Clean. Once again, for myself here, since moving here to Italy over a year ago, Yah has taken me back school to teach me some much needed lessons, which is something that we always need. Wow, now the sun comes out. It's been cloudy all day. Okay, one second. Let me close this shade. No sun at all day, and then all of a sudden it's like I need sun rays going across my face. So again, once again, since moving here to Italy over a year ago, Yah has taken me back to school to teach me some much needed lessons. And this sermon is definitely one of them. Among many believers today, declaring what is clean and unclean has become, for a lack of better words, obscene and obnoxious. It has gone from simply declaring what Yah's word says to many becoming judge and jury in this matter. Once again, the simplicity of Yah's word has been steamrolled by man's own opinion and declaration. And as is the common pattern when man starts addressing biblical issues on their own, it becomes grossly twisted and even mutilated. For example, keeping Torah does not make us clean. Yeshua makes us clean. And we tend to forget that. I always hear those in the Messianic Hebrew Roots Movement, Torah observant communities, declaring how the Christians are lost, unclean, heathens who don't know the truth. But many, if not most, spend more time bashing and judging them than actually helping. I ask you, what are we in this walk for? Besides the obvious, to be saved, enter into heaven, and not end up in the lake of fire, but haven't we been given a command to be just like Yeshua? Didn't the Pharisees do the same as so many of us in the Torah community, Hebrew Roots Messianic? Let me say that again. Didn't the Pharisees do the same as we are today doing? Yeshua ate and visited with the sinners, tax collectors, and was mocked by those who supposedly had the truth. Does the same need to be said about us today as Yeshua said about the Pharisees then? And Yeshua said, when they sit in the seat of Moses, do as they do, but don't do as they say. I'm sorry, do as they say, but don't do as they do. For they say, but do not do. For they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Matthew 23, 1 through 4. Is this not what we do now? The Messianic Hebrew Roots Torah observant communities have half a dozen different ways of how and what is called the Sabbath. You've got lunar Sabbath. You have Sabbath from sunset, Friday to sunset, Shabbat. You have Sabbath that is declared to only be sunrise to sunset and different things like that. There's a half a dozen different calendars that are declared to be the right calendar, from the Zadok calendar to the Dead Sea Scroll calendars, to the Gregor or the Hillel calendar, to what's one of the other ones that's become really popular lately? I can't think of it off the top of my head. But anyways, quite a few different calendars being declared to be the correct one. We have, the Enoch calendar. That's the one I was trying to think of. We have 20 different ways to say the Father's name as well as Messiah's name. Many congregations buy, sell, cook, etc. on Shabbat, yet always have some type of answer to justify why. Christians simply declare, but hundreds of years of indoctrination from the church, that these things are done away with. No fuss, no excuses, just simply, I don't have to. That's what they've been taught and believe. And they truly believe it. But many of us who claim to have all the truth have a book of our own of justifications and excuses. So the question bears, who has the greater sin? Who is truly showing themselves to be unclean? And I wanted to touch on all of this at the beginning because there is so much going on with trying to destroy and tear down what we may believe as those who claim to keep all of the word of Yah from Genesis to Revelation, that we've suddenly, as I said, have seated ourselves in the judgment seat as judge and jury of who is clean and who isn't, just like the Pharisees did, just like the practice and the common thing has been by man all along. And I'm not saying that the Christians are right. They've done their own versions of judgmentalness and the different ways of denominations. You know, you've got 30,000 different denominations of the church. The Catholic Church by no means was ever created by Yah. We know that. But from the Reformation of Luther, when he exposed the paganism and false doctrine of the church, we have the Lutheran Church come about, and then the Methodists, and then all of the others that followed afterwards. But who are we dealing with today? And we know we keep going back to the original beginning of the church, and we keep decimating what that is, but we're not looking at who the people are that are in it today. Here in Italy, Yah has really opened up my eyes to a lot of things as I've had the opportunity to witness to even Catholic priests, people in churches here, and where their mind and their heart is compared to what the doctrine is of the church that we speak so venomously against. Exposing the false teachings and false doctrines of religion, period, is what Scripture calls us to do. But as the old saying goes, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And even another saying that I quoted in a post the other day from a very wise old man years ago that I spoke to, he said, don't spit in the well that you once drank from. In other words, he's not talking about to still drink from that well, but don't try to poison or contaminate that well because you don't know what that well is used for. Yah can bring us into truth from anywhere. He brings people out of Satanism. He brings people out of paganism. He brings people out of all of the things that are of the world to bring us into his light. He brought the first Hebrew out of the culture that is the foundation of all paganism, and that's Babylon. Abram, who became Abraham, the father of Yisrael, who was of the worst pagan culture of all history. And he brought him out and made him the first Hebrew. And as each one of us have been brought out of something that wasn't right or totally right, he's led us to his truth. But Yah also uses many things to open our eyes to truth. And who are we to declare whether it's truly unclean or not? Now, don't get me wrong. There's no justification when we have pastors who say that anybody who keeps the commandments is being led by the devil. Or when other pastors are declaring that anybody who keeps the Sabbath is of doctrines of demons. That is plain and simple ignorance and stupidity and foolishness. Someone who is not of the Word of God, who is not of Yah, period. But again, the people that are in these places, this is where they've been raised, this is where they've been learned, taught. And as each one of this, like myself, I grew up in the Christian church my entire life until almost 20 years ago, when Yah opened up my wife's eyes and my eyes to the truth and brought us out of that, away from the things that were not biblical, such as Christmas and Easter and these things, and to show us the true Sabbath and to show us the ways to walk more accurately and more obediently. But it goes a little deeper than that, because we would have never learned that truth if our heart didn't truly belong to Yah. And that's key. When do we get to judge and decide whose heart is truly of Yah's or not? Because that person isn't where you think they should be. And if they're not just automatically listening to you, therefore they must be damned or dumb or whatever, because they're not jumping on the bandwagon that you declare to be truth right when you say it. It's a good thing that Yah didn't have the same mentality with you or me when he first was teaching us the truth and we didn't immediately jump, but yet he showed patience and grace and mercy. The key scriptures I want to get into, and a quick note, It is quite mind-blowing for me that Yah has truly opened my eyes to this since moving to Italy. And you'll see why. I find it, I don't know the word that really would fit for it, except maybe humbling. I find it quite humbling that Yah has chosen this time to open up my heart and my eyes to understand this better. So, we're all familiar with these scripture verses. Excuse me. Sorry if I sound a little raspy. I had bad allergies and brought on a head cold. Okay, Acts chapter 10. I'm going to read all of Acts chapter 10 and verses 1 through 18 of chapter 11. Acts chapter 10, 1 through chapter 11, verse 18. There was a, and to start out, why this is kind of blown my mind is this very first verse. There was a certain man in Caesarea. And for anyone who wonders where Caesarea is, it's up above Tiberias, above the Sea of Galilee, just south of Mount Hermon. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. And so, being here in Italy, and that this specific thing here has been, is about an Italian centurion who was a Gentile and who was a God-fearing man. All right. Again, let me start over. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. A devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of Yah coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? So he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before Elohim. Now send men to Joppa, which is roughly around the area of what we know as Tel Aviv, and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea, talking about the Mediterranean Sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel spoke to him, when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Kepha, Peter, went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. Excuse me. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again the second time. What Yah has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname is Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, "Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" And they said, "Cornelius the centurion, a just man who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear the words from you. Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up. I myself am also a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, "You know how unlawful." Listen carefully, Mishpahav, what this says. Kepha, Peter said to them, "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation." So to hang out with a Gentile, in other words. "But Yah has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, 'For what reason have you sent for me?' So Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore, we are all present before Yah to hear all things commanded you by Yah.' Then Peter opened his mouth and said," and you got to imagine that Peter must just be blown away at what Yah is doing here. Clearly, he even has, through the words here, an air of awe of how Yah works in this. "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which Yah sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Yeshua, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How Yah anointed Yeshua of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for Yah was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, who they killed by hanging on a tree. Him Yah raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by Yah, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by Yah to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins." While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. I'm going to repeat that. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water that they should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Before I continue reading, in this very few verses just right here, we see that the circumcision, that those who have Torah and believe in Yeshua, were astonished because these Gentiles, whom all of the Jews, all of Israel, believed were unclean and declared so, had the Holy Spirit poured out on them because they were believers in Yeshua who had never been baptized by water, but had the Holy Spirit poured out on them, and they spoke in tongues and magnified God. But if you were to talk to most any congregation today, Torah observant, Messianic, Hebrew roots, whatever title their congregation is under, they would tell you that this cannot be done unless baptized, unless they keep Torah and all of these things, that no Christian, no Gentile is going to be endowed with the Holy Spirit, be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I've heard it. I've been to too many of these congregations. I've talked to too many of these pastors among them, and they've said these very things, that this cannot happen, and they've declared it so and taught this as a doctrine. And they've declared, I've seen them tell Christians, "You are unclean, you are lost, you are filthy and dirty," and all of these things, because they don't have the Torah, because they believe that they don't have to keep those ways, because they've been taught this for all their life. And without thought or understanding or with wisdom, no wisdom at all in the situation, they just automatically declare them to be condemned or lost, or you don't know the truth, or your Messiah who you follow is a false Messiah, bashing the name of Jesus and all of these things. Yet these very people did not keep Torah, were known as Gentiles, had not been baptized, but simply believed that Yeshua died on the cross and rose from the dead, and they prayed to the God of Yeshua and believed, and because of it, they were blessed, and the Holy Spirit was poured out on them before they were even baptized by water. Verses 1 through 18 of chapter 11. Now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of Yah. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, "You went into uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners. And it came to me. When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'Not so, Lord, For nothing common or unclean, has at any time entered my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. Now this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. At that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house, and he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house, who said to him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the words of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If therefore Yah gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Adon Yeshua Messiah, who was I that I could stand, that I could withstand Yah? And here's the thing right here, real quick, Mishpaha. Well, let me read that last verse. When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. And in verse 17, Peter says, who was I that I could withstand Yah? Who are we to withstand Yah by declaring Christians and those in the church unclean? For we do not know who he has made clean. Our job is not to declare that. Neither have we been given authority to do so. Let's continue on. Go to Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 26. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, and I'm sharing this verse because this is really fitting for like pastors in churches and Christians who witness to people and are sharing the truth of the death and resurrection of Messiah, who shared the truth that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Savior, is the Messiah, and no one goes unto the Father except through him. As they teach these things, this is a very similar situation. Now, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of Yah more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, So each one of us, in many ways, have our own Cornelius. We know of men and women who are Christians, pastors, who are of the church, and who have great knowledge in the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, and some parts of the Old Testament, who are very fervent in their love for Messiah. And they only know the baptism of John, as it were. They don't know what it is to walk in the fullness of all of the word. They don't know that they've been deprived or robbed even of what it is to keep the Sabbath. Why would we tear them down or judge them and not do as Priscilla and Aquila here and take them aside and show them the way of Yah more accurately? But even when do so, how do you do it? Do you do this in a judgmental way? Do you say, oh, you are lost. You speak lies. You don't know what you're talking about. No. Do you do it like that? Do you speak to them in condemnation? Or do you present it to them as, brother, sister, let me show you even more of the truth? For I too was in the place that you are in. And Yah showed me this. Let me show this to you. And then when you show it to them, do you expect them to immediately, oh, this is truth. You must be right. Now I have the rest. Or do you give time for the Holy Spirit to reveal that to them and open their eyes? Are you patient and let the Holy Spirit do the work? Because you don't change them. The Holy Spirit does that. In conclusion, we don't know when people are, or better yet, where Yah has them in their current state of their walk. For above all, our job is to reach the lost with the gift of salvation. And as they grow, we need to stay out of the Holy Spirit's way, for he is the true teacher and revealer of scripture and truth. Now we do get the privilege of being used to help that process along, but we were not given the authority to declare who is clean and who isn't. That is Yeshua's job only. I want to share something that I posted the other day that I feel is very relevant for this message. John 14, verses 15 and 21, I started out with these two verses. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, says Yeshua. He also says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. This is where we come to ultimately in our walk, but it's a process. But also, is there a chance that we break these commandments by how we try to teach others to keep the commandments? Let me explain. A child at birth doesn't even know what rules are. By the time a child is of the age of 3 to 5 years old, they learn more of the don'ts in life for their safety and protection more than anything else. So also is one who is at this spiritual age in their walk. They learn the don'ts of the spiritual dangers that the enemy tries to use to destroy us in our infancy of this walk. As a child grows and builds a relationship with their parents and comes to learn and understand how much they are loved, then the child begins to truly love them back. In so doing, they seek how to make their parents proud of them by doing things that they learn that makes their parents happy. So also for us in our walk with the Father and Yeshua, as our relationship grows, we become more personal with them, our Father in heaven and Yeshua, and our heart desires to seek ways to honor them and make them pleased with us. It is then that we begin to learn obedience and to follow after Yah with all of our hearts. Key thing, it is then we begin to learn. But this is a process that must be done in us all by Yah, not by shoving it down their throats nor beating them over the head with it, but by first walking it out before them by those who are seasoned in keeping all of Scripture, and then teaching them what Scripture says, like Priscilla and Aquila did for Apollos. But even then, staying out of the Holy Spirit's way to do the true work in them. We cannot force it or expect it to happen when we think it should. Some will pick it up quickly, and for some it takes a long time. This is the true meaning of first love, then mercy, grace, and patience. Just as Yah had love, grace, mercy, and patience with us, and we know He still has that with us even now, to this day, so should we show the same level of these things for those we teach, preach, or just share the word with. As each day passes away, we are one day closer to the end of our lives. We all know that we are in the last days, at least enough that clearly the enemy is ramping up his attacks on the world. It seems that he is trying harder than ever to eradicate Yah from this world and from each generation that comes next. It is imperative now, more than ever, that people learn and know of the true gift of salvation that only comes from Yeshua Jesus. Salvation is the biggest thing under attack than anything else in Scripture. For without the knowledge and receiving of that salvation that only comes through Messiah, then no one, Torah keeper or otherwise, will enter the kingdom of heaven. This is our biggest and greatest duty to share and teach to all, that they must receive Messiah and repent of their sins so they too can have the hope of their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So make sure that you are doing just that for those around you, by the way you live and by the love, grace, mercy, and patience you show as you help others come to the truth. If we have not loved Mishpacha, we break His greatest command. And if we have not love, we break the command that Yeshua says, if you love me, keep my commandments. We are not showing love when we are condemning and declaring unclean those in the church, those of Christianity, who have not learned the rest of the truth. And can you say with absolute certainty that you will enter into the kingdom of heaven because you declare to keep the Torah or the Sabbath? Do you know with absolute certainty that a Christian who is like Cornelius, do you know that they won't make it to heaven? Because maybe they don't understand or know to keep the Torah? Do you know the heart? Are you able to judge it? So in closing, Yah blessed my wife, Michelle, and I to start Shema Yisrael 7 Ministry, July of 2011. And over the years, we've had the honor and privilege of Yah adding to this ministry our elder, Robert Reagan, Pastor Anthony and Angela Avalos, Pastor James Lindsay, and Pastor Daniel and Alicia Brown. I know for a fact that I did not, nor could not, have built this ministry into what it is today It has been blessed by Yah's love, His mercy, His grace, and His patience as He has molded it and refined it, purified it, and still to this day revealing His ways and truth to it and through it. So as the head pastor of SY7 Ministry, I myself repented to Yah for anything that I have declared unclean, whom He has made clean. And I repent to all of you who have followed our ministry and supported us through prayer and other ways, that at any time that I have ever was a stumbling block or ever came across judgmental or declared anything that I was not in the position to do so. This ministry and its pastors seek only to help everyone we encounter to be led to salvation above all else, and with love, mercy, grace, and patience, teach and lead you how to grow in that personal and intimate knowledge and relationship with Him that leads us to walk in obedience to His Torah, His way, and no other way. And as I close, I would like to speak the Aaronic, both in Italian, in Hebrew, and in English. For the Gentile, for the Jew, and for all of us. Il Signore ti benedica e ti custodisca. Il Signore faccia risplendere su di te il suo volto e ti sia propizio. Il Signore rivolga a te il suo volto e ti dia pace. Yavrechecha Adonai, va'ish morecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha. Vayasim lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Hashem Yeshua HaMashiach Hasar Shalom, in the name of Yeshua the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Amen and amen. We love you, Mishpacha. Shalom, shalom, Shabbat shalom.